Friday, time for the shortlist, New England Public Radio's Week in Review. I'm Jill Kaufman. In the studio today, Matt Szafranski, editor-in-chief at Western Mass Politics and Insight. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Mike Dobbs, managing editor at the Reminder Newspapers. Hello.
Thank you.
It's good to see both of you. Looking back at this week, among all the news, there's been some personal changes in the life of Massachusetts Senator Stan Rosenberg. He and his husband, Brian Hefner, are separated. And when asked about this on Beacon Hill yesterday.
That's personal. And he is getting the treatment for alcohol that he needs. And that's about all that can be said about that.
Well, in public life and with an ethics investigation, it's sort of hard to leave it there. As you both know, and as our audience probably knows, Rosenberg is the former Senate president. He stepped down late last year during an ongoing investigation into his husband's alleged sexual misconduct. The Senate Ethics Committee has hired a legal team to investigate whether Rosenberg violated Senate rules in connection with those allegations. Matt, let's start with you. The Boston Globe reports the close allies of Stan Rosenberg say if he's cleared by the investigation, they see a path for him to return to the Senate presidency. Can he make a return after all this?
I think he can. That's a narrow path, but not an impossible one. A, the investigation has to finish, first and foremost, and it has to be credible. If there's a lot of doubts among not so much people in elected office in Beacon Hill, but a lot of the people they interact with on Beacon Hill, you know, not representatives like House representatives, but like representatives of entities that lobby Beacon Hill or work with Beacon Hill staff. If they're comfortable with the investigation, then I think there'll be enough of a green light that he could come back. That being said, there are some, you know, complaints that people have had in that time period. It isn't all allies there. So we'll have to see how many people actually want him to come back in addition to his allies.
Right. So Mike, you wrote a column this week about covering elected officials, which you've done plenty of in your career, and about putting personal feelings aside. I don't know how you feel about Stan Rosenberg, but let me ask you now, from what you've observed in years of watching Beacon Hill and watching politics overall, what do you think can happen post-Senate investigation?
Well, I certainly agree with Matt that there is a path to political redemption here. I do think that it's going to probably necessitate a divorce, and I think it's going to necessitate an absolute clean bill of health in terms of an ethics investigation. I think this is, in a way, nothing new. There have been plenty of elected officials who have had personal problems that have then manifested themselves in the political arena, and I think that we have seen quite a bit of second acts in the lives of politicians who are generally well thought of, and he is generally well thought of.
So is it fair to ask him, though, to get a divorce? I mean, he's announced a separation. That's asking a lot of a human being and his professional life.
Well, I'm not asking him to get a divorce.
but you mentioned it.
But I
do you think that's what it'll take?
I think that if the ethics investigation indicates that he is innocent, for lack of a better term, but that his husband certainly did things that were unethical or maybe even illegal, I think there will be people who will want to see more than simply a separation.
Okay, let's move on. Massachusetts State Police and Boston Police told The Herald this week that when it comes to legalized marijuana use, they're going to follow state law. And if federal law enforcement decides to go after users and vendors, they're on their own. So we asked the Springfield Police for their take, and spokesman Ryan Walsh said at first blush two contrary things, that the police will follow what state police do and that they'll also cooperate with any federal investigations. I then asked Walsh about a scenario like this. Let's say the feds come in to town and start an investigation into a shop that appears to be operating within state and local laws.
I mean, that's a hypothetical situation at this point. You know, as I said before, we're going to continue to enforce local and mass general laws for recreational and medical marijuana unless we hear otherwise from the Executive Office of Public Safety.
Mike, are cities able to stand on their own? Is there any example, maybe immigration issues, I'm thinking, that lets us see how the states versus feds plays out?
Well, what fascinates me about this issue is that for many, many years, Republicans have used the phrase states' rights. Marijuana is definitely a states' rights issue. I mean, it's certainly a states' rights issue. The federal government has basically, under the Obama administration, said, okay, you guys, you figure it out for yourself. And so states have. So I find it fascinating at this time that you're going to have law enforcement in various states say, you know what, we're going to look at the state law rather than what the feds want us to do. The U.S. attorney for the state of Colorado has already said he's not going to go after legal marijuana in Colorado. So this will be a very interesting issue about how this plays out.
Right. And the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts left it rather unclear what his take would be. Matt, briefly, the police spokesman also said this is not a top conversation right now. Do you think it should be?
Well, I think, this is one of those kinds of things that the Springfield Police Department would rather not be having to deal with because they've got so many other problems, both internal and actual crime issues to deal with. They also have faced controversy for, as you mentioned, immigration issues. For the mayor, for example, trying to stick himself into some of these immigration debates where there really is nothing to be said. And I also think the Supreme Judicial Court has pretty much made clear that if it's not illegal under state law enforcement, which technically local police departments are, have no business really enforcing those federal laws.
Okay, let's get to the last motion here for this week. The UMass gambling study was presented this week before the State Gaming Commission. People who gamble are under the microscope. The study so far is based on 3,000 Massachusetts residents, with more to come. It appears so far that problem gambling may not always be a chronic disorder as previously thought. That's according to the study's authors, who say people often move in and out of problem gambling status within a year. So Matt, what's your takeaway from the study so far? And is there a risk that this highly publicized good news can take the focus off of problem gambling as a public health issue, which is one of the concerns?
I think there's always going to be a certain level of addiction when you're dealing with something that has to do with the pleasure zones, whether it's alcohol or drugs or gambling, and people have that reaction to it, and they're going to want to keep having that reaction to it. I'm not surprised that it's not the same because it's not chemical, but I think for the most part, the gaming companies are going to be under a huge obligation to make sure that they watch out for people who do have a problem, or they're going to face repercussions in the legislature.
Mike, these are professional researchers at UMass doing the study. Do you see any problem with the fact that the work is funded by the Gaming Commission, that it will make gambling skeptics question results like the ones we heard this week briefly?
No, because the Gaming Commission has been very proactive about talking about this with MGM, and MGM has agreed to a problem gambling program, some of which are the conditions would be you can actually set yourself a limit. You could go into the casino and say, I want to gamble $500, and they'll cut you off after $500. So I think they're making every effort they can to address this as a public health issue.
Mike, thanks so much. Mike Dobbs is managing editor at the Reminder Newspapers. And Matt Szafranski, thank you, editor-in-chief at Western Mass Politics and Insight. Thanks both to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the short list for this week, NEPR's Week in Review. You can listen anytime at NEPR.net/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is New England Public Radio.